I brought Shauna. And I brought Shauna because I wanted to tell you again about why I hate her. When I used to teach, I taught in a church school, and my colleague and year six teacher used to, they had a leavers service at the end of each school year, at the end of the summer term. And she used to give them a message to take away with them for secondary school and for life. So one day, near the end of the summer term, I arrive home and find a text from her which says, "Sandra, do you have a sheep puppet?" Well, I didn't then. So I rang her and I said, "Well, what exactly are you looking for?" She said, "Well, it needs to be big enough for the infants to sing. And it needs to look a bit like a sheep." "What do you mean, a bit like a sheep?" "Well, you are a sheep, I know." So I said, "Would you like me to make you one?" And she said, "I have to point out that my friend is a Christian." She said, "Are you sure if somebody asked me to do that now, I'd kill them?" So I made Shauna. And she took a prominent part in the need for service. Her job was to be one of David's sheep, so that when he went to visit his brothers, she followed him to make sure he was safe. So she did, and she saw him defeat Goliath. And the message that she gave those youngsters to take away with them was, that sounds right, anything is possible with God. Anything is possible with God. You think of how unlikely it was that an 11-year-old lad could defeat this huge giant of a man that none of the army would take on, and it seems impossible. But God was on his side, God was with him. And with God's help, he managed to defeat Goliath. So Shauna's message is, anything is possible with God. And I think that's a good message for us as well. Anything is possible with God. Well, the psalm, I don't know if you realise it, it's a psalm that is used for Christmas Day in all 3 years of the lecturing. So I might well use the same psalm next time I'm here. It celebrates the coming of God's salvation in the Exodus from Egypt, or an unnamed military victory. Its praises focus on the liberation of God's people, Israel, and extend to the whole world, and even to all creation. Notice how the end of the psalm links past and future salvation. The God who has come in mercy and faithfulness is the God who will come to judge the earth and its peoples with equity. Justice is the watchword for all God's dealing with his world, especially in his coming in Christ. So if we turn to the Luke greeting. When Luke wrote this passage of scripture, including Jesus saying, "But not a hair of your head will perish," people following Jesus had already been arrested, persecuted, handed over to synagogues and prison, brought before kings and governors because of the name of Jesus. People like James and Stephen, the witness of the martyrs, had already begun to rival and surpass the witness of the beautiful stones and gifts in the temple. Jesus tells them to trust more in the witness born from suffering than the witness born from being in power and stability. The sign and symbol of power and refuge, the temple, will be thrown down by their enemies. But the internal strength and presence of God could not be stopped, taken away from them, or silenced. But back to the beginning of our passage and the disciples' question. They want to know when the temple is going to be destroyed. When will this hardship come? Jesus doesn't answer their question, but goes into more detail about how difficult it will be and warns them that others will try to use their fear as a way of setting themselves up as the saviour. Jesus tells them not to follow anyone who set themselves up as the only option. And remember here how many times, in how many ways we've heard Jesus tell his disciples and would-be followers that they already have a good God who's given them everything they need. Is it wishful thinking and cocksureness, or is it our desire to avoid or ignore pain that forces us into believing that things are supposed to be good for us, easy for us, acceptable to us as Christians? Everything and everyone is in some rebellion against God's establishment of goodness and righteousness in the new heavens and earth. Nations continue to pick fights that have no point except the petty egos of their leaders. Natural disasters continue to happen, including those caused by human action and inaction. People continue to suffer. All of that is out there suffering, the kind we watch from a distance. But then Jesus takes it closer to home. Before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. Stephen and James have already died for their faith and life with Jesus Christ. Proof bad things are going to continue to come. And when they do, Jesus says, don't look for someone claiming to be God for support. Look inside for the God already with you. I will show you what to do. I will speak through you. Jesus says, when your heart is broken because your family has rejected you and handed you over to wolves, when they are complicit with putting you on the road towards death, God is with you. The people who become our enemies will not understand this trust we show when we look to Jesus before anyone else. When we don't let our faith and trust in him be shaken by what others do to us. When we stand firm instead of caving to what is popular or the way those in power want us to be. When we know the who of what we believe and trust God's work in us. For the disciples to do this, they will need to cultivate the relationship that has begun with Christ among them long past the day of his ascension. The disciples will need to return to the foundation of what he has taught them and what the Spirit reveals to them. they will need to shape their beliefs and actions against the way of righteousness that Jesus modeled to them. In other words, they will need to walk the life of faith with Jesus always and ever before them, following him through the valley of the shadow of death, but not giving up in faith when they come to the other side. Each will find they have gained their soul because it is Jesus Christ who fills it. A fortnight ago, I went to a funeral, and the thing that the celebrant said that really struck home to me was that nothing can separate us from God's love. Nothing can ever separate us from God's love. And I think that is something we need to always remember. As Shauna says, nothing is impossible with God. And nothing can separate us from God's love. Let us pray. Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are our God and we are your people. We thank you that you sent Jesus to show us what you are really like. And we thank you that you sent the Holy Spirit to live with us and within us, to inspire and enable us to live our lives your way. We ask you to help us always keep focused on you and keep you at the center of our lives, now and always.